You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I look forward to being with you for the next hour or so. And we have a great guest today you're not going to want to miss. And before we go to Christine, just a reminder that coming up in just 26 days now will be our annual golf outing. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. And this year we'll be returning to Old York Road Country Club out in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. The day gets underway at 10 o'clock with registration, followed by lunch, around the golf. After golf, we'll have a cash bar, dinner buffet, and then a silent auction. And as mentioned, this is our biggest fundraiser of the year, usually held in the fall. But because of the current situation, we were forced to push it back a little bit. And so we're looking forward to getting together on April the 26th. You can get all the information on a flyer that's linked on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the screen, you'll see that link there. We could use help with sponsorships of holes and meals. You can also sign up to play golf either as an individual or a foursome. You can also sponsor priests to play golf. It's one of the highlights of the day to see a number of priests that come out from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So whatever you can do to help us out this year is certainly appreciated. If you have any questions, you can always get a hold of Maureen here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. And today we're blessed, I'm blessed to be joined by Christine Watkins. Christine was an anti-Christian atheist living a life of sin, and then began a life of service to the Catholic Church after a miraculous healing from Jesus through Mary, which saved her from death. Her own story can be found in a book called Full of Grace. Before her conversion, she danced professionally with the San Francisco Ballet Company. Today, she has 20 years of experience as a keynote speaker, retreat leader, spiritual director, and counselor, with 10 years of working as a hospice grief counselor, and another 10 as a post-abortion healing director. She's written a number of books and currently resides in Sacramento, California, with her husband and three sons. Welcome to the show, Christine. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
And the reason I personally reached out to you a while ago was that somebody had passed along a copy of The Warning, Testimonies and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience. And I got a hold of the book and read most of it. And I knew that this was something that we need to talk about, especially in light of the things that are going on in the world today. So I want to thank you for carving out some time for us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And I know we tried to hook up a while back, and I forgot to remind you, so no problem. I'm just glad that we finally were able to get together. And so,
my fault, not yours.
No, not at all.
I'm shutting a window right now because there's chickens in the background.
No problem. But like I said, the reason I want to talk about this book is I've got so many friends and people that I get together with, and we look at everything that's going on in the world today. And, you know, people are saying, you know, how is this ever going to get resolved? How is this ever going to get fixed? And my response to them is it's going to be one of two things. There's either going to be a huge military war, perhaps a civil war in our own country, or God's going to fix it. And the one way I see him being able to do it is exactly what you outline in your book, is this illumination of conscience.
Yes, God's going to have to intervene, isn't he? We're going in the wrong direction, and that's partly what the warning is all about, that he knew in his providence that we would seek other things beside him and keep moving in that direction, and he doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he's going to do several things, I believe, the warning being one of the greatest, to help save his people.
And so you, and I cheated a little bit. I watched a few of your YouTube videos. And so I know that you have written a number of books, and this project was placed on your heart or on your soul by God, wasn't it?
It was. I found out about it, and I'll go over what it is. Some people might not know what we're talking about when we say warning or illumination of conscience, but if it were real, I thought to myself, this is so huge. Why wouldn't God want the whole world to know about it? Why wouldn't God want the world to be warned of the warning, as it were? And so I began to pray, and I said, Lord, if this is real, I need to know. I don't want to deceive anyone. And if I'm going to write a book on it, I would really like to meet people who've already experienced what it is, a moment in time when people see their lives in light of their sin. It's a correction of conscience, and there's more to it, as it would happen on a global scale. But I wanted to meet people who had experienced it individually. And lo and behold, after that prayer, within the next 8 weeks, I had met one person, but never anybody else. And I quickly learned of five more, met five others, and they all agreed to be in the book within the span of 2 months. And their stories were incredible. And then 8 years since then, I haven't met anybody. So it was such a direct, I felt, response to my prayer that I felt like I was given a thumbs up, as it were, from God to go ahead and write it and write down these stories as well, and what saints and prophets have said about what exactly this watershed moment is.
And we'll get into exactly what that is. But I just, when you tell that about all of a sudden these people, you get to encounter person to person and hear their stories. And here in our small circle, we always say, is that odd or is that God? And when these
is that odd or is that God? Is that what you said?
Yep. Yeah. Is that odd or is it God?
And I like that.
Yeah. And when it happens, I mean, you just know that it's of God, and especially those of us that are trying to do, you know, what God wants us to do. When we get these sorts of confirmations, it's just that. I mean, we know perhaps exactly what God wants us to do, and so. I personally thank you for your yes in listening to what God wanted you to do, and especially after you got confirmation to do it. And so maybe this is where we get in a little bit into, you know, what this warning is about, this illumination of conscience, and what might happen.
So it's surprising, actually, how many authentic prophets, some of them saints, some of them church apparitions, have spoken of this moment in time, as well as it being the sixth seal of the book of Revelation and in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. So the people that whom God has chosen to tell it to come from all different parts of the world in different times, different centuries even, different ages. And what's interesting is that they didn't talk to one another and they didn't say, should we make this up?
Right.
Let's make up this really strange thing and say that it's God and not odd, as it were. And so the statistical chance of all these different mystics saying the same thing, it's possible that they come up with it on their own and it not be God who told them of it. And so we have a Pope, Pius IX, declared a blessed. We have a priest and martyr, St. Edmund Campion. We have St. Faustina Kowalska, Blessed Anna Maria Taiji, religious superior and mystic Father Michel Rodrigue, a victim soul and founder of the Flame of Love movement in the church, Bishop Elizabeth Engelman. We have Joseph Gobi, Matthew Kelly, Lister Maria de Monia, with the Stigmata Churches in Promoter, Janie Garza, who also is a stigmatist and visionary with her support. And then we have child visionaries in the apparition site of Heed, Germany, and Garabandal, Spain. And we also have the Mother of God through Mary, Reconciler of All Nations, when she appeared in Batania, Venezuela, to Maria Esperanza. So it's very rich. And they all, if you put all of their prophecies together, and prophecy is nothing new in the church, you know, there are 1,200 prophecies in the Bible, 200 of them already came true. And Jesus, our Lord, being born is one of them. Centuries before he came, he was written down in Scripture by the prophets. So God continues prophecy. There's a wonderful line in the prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, that says, "Indeed, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets." So there's going to be a time when the sky goes dark. Whether it's night or day in the world, everything will turn black. And then a bright light will appear in the sky, and there will be a cross with Jesus on it. And in his hands and from his feet where he was nailed, these bright rays of light will descend, lighting up the earth brighter than day. Day will be brighter than day. Night will be brighter than day after having been pitch black to catch everyone's attention. It will be undeniable, and those rays of light will pierce every soul on earth, whether you're a child, adult, atheist, Catholic. You will suddenly see, in the span of 5 or 15 minutes earthly time, your life. And the stories in the book are incredible. People experience just this against their will, no matter their age and belief. They saw a life review. And people will know that it is Jesus who did this. They will know that the church is a haven. They won't fully understand what the church is, the Catholic Church, but they will know. They will also know that sin is real. And they will also know that God is real and every single one of their sins is real. So in that moment, Satan will be tied, and for the next 40 days, he'll be tied. So there will be this open knowledge. And if a person were to go to hell, if they were already in a state that would lead them to hell, they would know, they would feel what that's like. So a person, there are many people on earth who are already walking in hell, right? They're already in a state of mortal sin. That's where they go if they died, if they didn't repent. The difference between their existence now and crossing over is the feeling. They don't feel the full effect of what it's like to be there, but during the warning, they will. They will feel the utter absence of God. And then those who would go to purgatory will know that they're supposed to go there, that they will know that that's the state of their soul, and they will be aware of exactly what they need to do to purify themselves, to grow closer to God. And those who are very, very close to God will just, you know, those minor refinements, just to step straight into paradise And perhaps even there's a few who are absolutely perfect in holiness, perfect in every virtue, who are walking in heaven and right now and will simply feel heaven. So for those walking with the Lord, there's absolutely nothing to fear. But for those who are in mortal sin and who keep sinning and keep sinning, what we'll see, all of us, and this happens at death, so this is not much different than what happens to every single person who's ever lived and ever will live, that our particular judgment when we die. We see ourselves in all truth. But people who've been through it also say that they see the repercussions of their sins as well. So imagine being in mortal sin after mortal sin after mortal sin, and also seeing every single repercussion that each mortal sin causes is quite shocking, and feeling the full effect of it. You know, we sin, we might do something, and we might say, oh, sorry, God, but that's very different than feeling what it did to God, feeling what it did to others, feeling their pain in ourselves. And so the knowledge will be complete at that moment. And then the beauty of this is that it's a full opportunity of tremendous mercy, because no one can say, well, I didn't know there was a God. Or no one can say, well, I didn't know that was wrong, right? Our conscience will be fully revealed to us if it's been darkened. And the chance to repent will be tremendous. And one of the mystics says there's going to be long lines of confession. You're going to have atheists, Jews, Muslims, agnostics, you name it, searching for answers as to what just happened to them. And people like you and I, when this happens, are going to have their catechism, their Bible, a bunch of rosaries, whatever's still available to us, packed up and stored and ready to go to evangelize, because the priests are simply going to be sitting in front of long lines of confession. They're not going to be able to do all the teaching, mass baptisms, and so forth. The problem is, as is normal, that we see now, especially with the world and the media, is that you will have the world encroach on this quickly as they can. And on the news, you will have people say, we had some kind of strange phenomena. You know, they might say it's a solar flare or some kind of collective unconscious action that can be just ignored. So what happens is, the mystics say that Satan will be chained for 40 days, but after that he'll come back, and people will be tempted as they always have been. So there's a chance, especially in the first 2 or 3 weeks after this, when people will be raw and numb and open, kind of like after a shock, you're more open to hearing something new than if things are just going on as they always have. But after that time, people start to go back into their old habits, right? And then when Satan is back doing his normal thing, people will be back to being tempted. And many, many will go back to doubting, back to their old ways, turning on the TV, sitting in front of it, being brainwashed, and so forth. And that's when people really will have to make a choice. God is basically saying, I've told you everything. You know, you can deny it, but you've been shown. Who and what do you choose? So people, you can imagine, who immediately repent and run to the arms of Jesus in confession are going to become very holy. They're going to, like happened to many of the people in the book, they really amended their lives and they just never wanted to hurt a fly after that. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be those who are given this great opportunity and reject it. And then we can only imagine what would happen to that soul at that point.
Yeah, the description just opens up, at least for me, some other questions. And I think it's important that what you noted is that even if this doesn't happen in our lifetime, that it's still going to happen at our time of death, that we'll experience that particular judgment, that we'll see all the sins that we've committed and the repercussions of them. And I think it was Marino, Restrepo?
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce his name? And what he experienced. And to see the ripples of the impact of our sins. So, and I work a lot with alcoholics and drug addicts, especially those that are in recovery, and helping them to come back to the faith. And, you know, the primary response or the main response you'll get from an addict when they're in the throes of their addiction and you're trying to help them is they'll always say, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. And I believed it in my own mind when I was going through it. I thought it, you know, I'm only hurting myself. What do you care? And yet when I finally sobered up and looked around and saw the circle of people that I had impacted, my parents, my brother, my sisters, a wife, my daughter, and because of the impact I had on them, it reverberates. It has impact on their relationships with other people. And so it's just this outgoing circle of ripples that it affects a really wide circle. And to Marino's point, you know, he said it even, you know, crossed oceans and went to other countries, because we really don't know how seriously we hurt people and how that hurt can cause them to hurt others. And so whether we experience the warning in our lifetime, and it happens tomorrow or next week or next year, or doesn't happen until the moment that we die, it's still going to happen, right?
It's still going to happen.
Yeah. So, and we say that because even people that I've shared the book with and shared some of the information from it, they're like, that sounds a little far out. And it may sound far out, but it's going to happen one way or another. It'll either happen all at once for the whole world at one time, or it'll happen individually when we die. But it's going to happen, so why not prepare for it?
You know what I've found really surprising, actually, because I thought, well, who's going to believe this if I write the book? That's why I really needed God's blessing to do so. But, you know, the reviews on Amazon are completely anonymous. You don't tell them what to say and what to do. It's people I don't even know. But no one, I assumed, and I write this in the beginning, hey, some people are going to read this and think, I don't know if I believe it, but it's interesting, or this is crazy, or they're going to tell the whole world. You know, there's going to be different responses. But there's not one of, I don't know how many there are, like 3,000 some reviews on Amazon. It became a bestseller here and in Poland and other countries. It started to spread, and everyone believed it. I think because the only believe it if you read the book, though, because you have to go into all the intricacies of each saint. You know, I figured even people don't believe what saints say. They have to find out, well, do I like that saint?
Yeah,
you
right,
know,
right.
So in the very back of the book, I go into who the people are who were given this knowledge and where it's found in Scripture. You know, Scripture is rather convicting, right? When we say it's in Scripture, that's more hard to ignore, that this is something just made up. So this is in Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days. And are we not going into a tribulation now? Are we not at the very beginning of something that's worldwide?
Amen.
I'm adding my own.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, meaning everybody. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Yes, he'll be in the sky with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a trumpet blast, and they will gather his elect from the four winds. That's those who choose. He doesn't gather them right away. It's not a rapture like the Protestants believe. But from one end of the heavens to the other, he's calling his people to himself. And so it also goes into the sixth seal in the book of Revelation that was revealed to the beloved Apostle John. And what's very interesting is that corresponds with an earthquake as well. It's a big, big, big wake-up. And I think we can all agree that this hasn't happened yet. So whatever is written in Matthew 24 is something in the future.
No doubt.
It's also interesting. Two people who have the church's imprimatur with their writings, two of the mystics, have mentioned, it's interesting. It says, well, it will happen, it will happen, it will happen, it will happen soon, soon, sooner, soon, soon. The message has changed to suddenly this generation. So I don't know if that means this generation, but I can say that these two mystics who have the imprimatur are saying, yes, this generation. So we'll see. I'm not one to stand on that and bet my life on it. But they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are, and they have no reason to lie.
No, and that's I think that's what's most interesting about it is that, you know, it's been predicted since the gospel was written some 2,000 years ago, and yet it seems to be in more recent times that this has become more not realistic, but revealed more of late to these mystics, and you know, it would seem to me only logical that if, you know, more and more people are experiencing this individually, that it's only a matter of time before it really does happen.
And you know what's interesting is people, I'm not one to ask when, because I think it's a big mistake to put dates on prophecy. And you know, things shift too. I think the time of mercy that was mentioned by St. Faustina was prolonged. Mm. And I, there are apparitions at Garabandal. I know that Mother Angelica of EWTN had, you know, she believed in those apparitions, and she had different people talk about them on the television, and they are not condemned, but they are not approved either in the church. And the mystics, two or three of them are still alive, and there are four young girls to whom Mary allegedly appeared. And El Aviso, this happened in Spain in a small town called Garabandal, and Mary spoke specifically, allegedly, about the warning, El Aviso, in Spanish. And when one of the visionaries, or when all of them were asked when it would happen, what Our Lady told them was when communism returned. Mm. And I find that interesting. And also, when things are at their worst, and when the Mass will have to be celebrated, like, underground in private. And if you look at a year ago, I don't think anyone would have really been thinking about Mass having to be said in private. I don't think anyone would have thought about communism returning, especially to a place like the United States, where it never was. But we're talking global. And today, what are we seeing? In Ireland, it's an offense to say Mass. So where are they supposed to say it? And if you look at this Great Reset, it's a form of global communism, a technocracy that they're proposing. So isn't it interesting that this statement from this visionary in Garabandal seems so far off and strange, but now a year has gone by where it seems not so odd at all.
Not odd at all, as you say. I mean, we're right in the thick of it. And speaking of being right in the thick of it, we are in need of a short commercial break. So we're at the bottom of the hour already, Christine, I can't thank you enough. So we're just going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Your host, Ken Johnston. And I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and our supporters. Thank you so much for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years. We're blessed today to be joined by Christine Watkins, and we've been talking about a book she's written called The Warning, Testimonies and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience. And she's also the CEO of QueenOfPeaceMedia.com, or Queen of Peace Media, I guess it is, and the website is QueenOfPeaceMedia.com. You'll find links to all of her books there, as well as a blog and a newsletter and other information. So I'd encourage you to check it out. Again, that's QueenOfPeaceMedia.com. Christine, before we go back to the conversation, you may or may not know that one of the priests that you've quoted in the book is actually on this same radio apostolate every Thursday, Monsignor Ralph Cifo.
And,
yeah, so for those of you that are listening, and I'm sure that you know Father Ralph that's here every Thursday, he writes, "If you want to live in faith, hope, and love, instead of in fear and despair, then read this prophetic book and believe the divinely inspired words of these contemporary saints and mystics. They challenge us to purify our consciences and commit our lives to Jesus, who is the truth and the way to eternal life. In prayer, listen to God's powerful spirit, GPS, gracing and guiding us to become saints by serving others as disciples of hope and healing." So, again, that's from our own Monsignor Ralph Cifo. And, again, you can pick up the book if you go to queenofpeacemedia.com and order it there. It's actually going to flip you over to Amazon, so you can go directly to Amazon as well, where you'll see that it is number one and it's in the category. So, Christine, it's obvious that you're reaching an awful lot of souls with this book. And to me, like we said at the very beginning, it just proves that this is a work of God.
Yes, it's just God.
Yeah. So when this happens, and yeah. So when this does happen, and I think that this is really what's maybe even more important to our listeners, because I think in some regards we might be preaching to the choir, because I think if you know the regular listeners are listening because they want to continue to grow in holiness and grow closer to God, and so they when this happens they may find themselves you know, racing to where they belong, and hopefully that's purgatory or heaven. And it's interesting to me when you write about that and talk about that, because I had a priest 30 years ago when I came back to the faith, and in these conversations I would have, he said exactly that to me, that at the moment of death, it's not going to be a guessing game as to where we're going. We're going to know right away where we belong. And so when I read that in the book, it just made perfect sense to me what Father Bob McLaughlin said to me some 30 years ago, that, you know, we're going to know where we belong. But for those that feel like they or see that they are headed towards hell, or that they're headed towards purgatory and still need to have these sins burned out and virtues grown, they're going to need help. And to your point, you know, what we're experiencing in our church today with the lack of priests, my guest in the prior hour, Father Douglas McKay, is a really good friend of mine. And we have an addictions ministry together that he does full time. But because of the priest shortage here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, he's helping out at three or four different parishes on any given weekend, you know, whether it's saying Mass on Saturday evening or Sunday morning. And helping wherever he can. And so when this happens, like you said, the only thing these guys are going to be able to do is hear confessions and offer Mass. They're not going to have time for counseling and catechism and those types of things. And that's where we come in, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think people need to really understand their faith, understand the truth. There's so much confusion, and there's going to be even more. Say the prophets and the mystics are Catholic, that we're headed into a very confusing and painful future, but those with faith will go through it peacefully, because we know where our home is, right? Mm-hmm. We know what the whole point of this life is. And so we really have to buy a catechism. We have to buy rosary pamphlets. We have to get all that stuff now, honestly. Bibles. And really know our faith. So if someone says, well, why can't I do that? We have a cogent answer. It's not going to fly to say, well, because the church says so, especially when there might be people in the church coming forth that say the opposite.
Right.
We have to really know it. And so I really encourage people to seek out that knowledge right now and really inform ourselves. And if you do disagree with something that the magisterium of the church teaches, something bolstered by both tradition and scripture, find out why the church says what it says. Like, listen to the side that maybe you've disagreed with. Maybe the world has shouted so loudly in our ears and obfuscated some facts so that we believe something that actually isn't what God says is true. So, you know, speaking of Monsignor Cifo, he worked with the Flame of Love movement. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yep.
I also, through Queen of Peace Media, helped put out an abridged version of the Diary of Elizabeth Kinderman, The Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so this warning, this beautiful moment of mercy and grace for the entire world, was something that Mary has obtained for us through her intercession. And would you like me to read some of the something from her diary? Because she was a locutionist, and she heard Our Lady speak to her, and she heard our Lord. And they say some specific things about this time.
Absolutely. Just before you do, Christine, just in case any of our listeners have a question, I'll give out the phone numbers, and then we'll read that. It's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. Go ahead, Christine. Sorry.
No, that's great. There's this beautiful line where Jesus speaks to her personally, Elizabeth Kindleman, the mystic. He says, let our glances meld together so they form one glance. So she had an illumination of her conscience, and she said she cried for days, and she was saintly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get hit over the head with a big sack of divine potatoes myself. I was a big sinner. But he said, whoever walks with me will be joined with me in one glance. Like, our eyes are going to meet his eyes. And in another message, Our Lady spoke. She said, "Do not abandon the battle. Through my flame of love, a new era of grace never before known on earth will begin. When the effect of grace of my mother's," this is Jesus, "when the effect of grace of my mother's flame of love pours out into all hearts, she will be venerated as never before. All will join in one gigantic prayer petition. Give my messages to those in authority and tell them not to impede my mother who wants to pour out the flame of love." And this is very important. I think clergy need to know about this. I think clergy need the book. And if you're called to spread it after you read it, I think it's very important that we pray about who to hand it to, because atheists have been converted by this book. It's very convincing. People want, their souls light up and conversions happen. And one of the very important reasons to tell our family members, I mean, I've told my family, they're atheists. I've told them about it and they kind of look at me cross-eyed, you know, no pain, no gain. But people are not necessarily going to live through the emotional shock of it. And the more people are prepared, the better they're going to fare. People are going to be inspired to go to confession. People are going to know what is happening as it happens to them, and they're less likely to deny it afterwards. So getting the word out now is so important. It's an act of love and it's an act of mercy to get the word out. If God didn't want the word out, why did he tell all these prophets about it?
No,
it doesn't make sense.
No, not at all. And I couldn't agree more. And, you know, as you're talking about the people that have been converted as a result of reading the book, you know, it's as Catholics, as Christians, we believe that everybody, whether they're atheist or not, believe in God or not, is born in the image and likeness of God, and that he puts that on every person's heart, on every person's soul. And so whether we, you know, evangelize full time or just encounter people occasionally, when we meet them, what we try to get from them or have them experience is to know that what they've been thinking, feeling, hearing is coming from God. Because I have to believe that he acts in everybody, whether they believe he's there or not. And so it's a matter of helping people to realize what it is that's going on in there. And I see it so crystal clear, especially in addicts who are feeling driven to experience ecstasy, that they're just looking in all the wrong places. Like Chesterton said, every man that knocks on the door of a brothel is looking for God. We all want to experience this, but we look for it in all the wrong places. And so a true seeker, somebody that's really looking for that kind of experience, will find it through the writing of the individuals in the stories, because they experienced it, and you lay it out so well in the book and how you've written it that I don't think it can help but to stir that in somebody's heart and to answer that question of what's really going on here.
Yeah, it does, as you say so well, it does wake up that the person has a soul.
Yeah.
If they don't think they do, it's really hard to believe they don't. And the stories, I mean, you have these beautiful stories. Marino Restrepo, I don't want to give it away to the listener. He's my favorite. He's most people's favorite, but yeah. Unreal.
Yep.
Unreal. A Hollywood playboy who originally was raised in Colombia, came to Hollywood, became a big producer, big sinner, sexual sin, new age, ends up going back home to Colombia, is kidnapped, dragged through the Amazon jungle, thrown blindfolded, beaten up in a little shack full of bat excrement in the dark, and that's where he has his illumination of conscience. And he's just, overnight, he's a completely different person. And then you have a nun who visits Jerusalem, and she touches the place in the rock, in the ground, where the true cross was placed at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Suddenly she's in front of Jesus, and she has a complete illumination of her conscience. So you have a nun who's already a good person, and it was so interesting to find out, to see her see herself in those little faults, right? Those little things we can change. And so in each story, they're so different from one another, and you can't help to read it and go, oh, that's me. Oh, my gosh, that's me. That's what's in me. And we can't change. We can't not become an addict. We can't, I mean, Jesus convicted me the other day of a pride, and I was ranting against masks. But the way I was going about it was wrong. You know, there's these little ways that we turn away from love, even though we're trying to do good, right?
Mm.
And so many things in us that once they're purified, once we see them, we can get rid of them. But if you don't read a book like this, if you don't read scripture, if you don't probe it, you won't see, and it remains in you, in me. How awful is that? How awful it is to be blind.
Yeah, and I've got a good friend that says all the time, you know, we can't do anything about it until we recognize it, whether it's addiction or sin or whatever it is that's going on in our lives. If we don't take the time to reflect on the things that we do and the attitudes that we have, we'll never change them. And worse yet, in many cases, especially in the addiction world, we can't change it. The only way it's going to change is with God's help. And so not only do we have to recognize it, but then we have to turn around and ask for help. And whether that help comes from God via another person or from God directly, it's got to come from God.
Amen. And God wants to help. God's poised and ready, and he's so excited to make this experience as beautiful as possible for us and to make life, even amidst a crazy world right now, interiorly very beautiful. That's where happiness doesn't come from outside. It comes from inside. And so, you know, there's an abundant life awaiting all of us, and it does require a stare into our soul, and that's what the book, The Warning, Testimonies, and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience, I believe, provides.
Amen. And so, again, the book is The Warning, Testimonies, and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience. The author who we have on the line here is Christine Watkins. It's available via her website at queenofpeacemedia.com, along with other books and resources that'll help us draw closer to God. And like I said, I had somebody mention this to me, I guess it was back in the October-November time frame, and I know you're busy traveling and what have you, and giving talks and retreats, and so I really appreciate the time that you've been able to give us this afternoon. And I would encourage all of our listeners to get a copy of this book, at least one. And, you know, what I found interesting that you said a few moments ago, Christine, is to make sure that priests are aware. And, you know, these guys are so busy. As a lay person who many people know of my involvement in, you know, this radio work, my Franciscan fraternity, some of the things I do in my parish, they'll come to me, and I can already see it now that I have a half a dozen people ask me why our parish priest never talks about this. Every year at Divine Mercy Sunday, they ask why he never talks about Divine Mercy, and I think in some cases they're so busy that anything that's happened since the time that they were ordained, if they didn't learn it in the seminary, it's tough for them to carve out big chunks of time to become so well versed in it that they feel reluctant to share about it. And
that's a really good point. Maybe that's why, that it wasn't part of their education, and so it doesn't get incorporated, even though God's screaming it out.
Yeah, and I think that's why, at least in some cases, like you have the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, whose whole charism is dedicated to the Divine Mercy message, and we have lay ministries like your own that are dedicated to the warning and bringing people up to speed as to what's going on. And I think when we were talking earlier about this priest shortage and how many lay people have had to step up, and I just know from doing this show on Wednesdays, I've been doing it for almost 5 years. I usually interview somebody in the Catholic world. And I would say that 75% of the people I have on are people like you, lay people that have been called by God to serve the church without having to enter a religious order. And so when the Second Vatican Council said that the lay people need to get more involved, I think that this is how we do it. And if our priests aren't well versed enough to do it, I think giving them the book, it's certainly not going to hurt. Whether or not they'll actually pick it up and run with it is another thing. It could be we give them the book and circle back in a week or two. Hey, I gave you the book. Did you have a chance to look at it?
Yeah, and they're not going to call you crazy. I think no one after reading it calls it crazy, which I shocked me, but they don't. They don't.
No.
I'd say, well, we'll see. But there's not a label of crazy on this. Isn't that interesting?
No, it's very interesting because of all the things that people would talk about when it comes to the Catholic faith, this would probably be the one that I would put at the top of the list as crazy. And
right.
And yet, the way you lay it out, in particular, it's backed up in Scripture. It's backed up by saints and mystics, some that we may be familiar with and others that we're not. But enough that it definitely lends credence to what's written. And so... And I think if we really take a few minutes, and we don't have to spend a whole weekend retreat thinking about it, but if you just sit back for a few minutes and think about it, it makes perfect sense that an all-loving and all-merciful God who wants us to be drawn to himself and to spend eternity with him is going to give us every opportunity he can to draw us to himself. And I think over 2,000 years, he's tried in all kinds of ways. And to your point, what you said earlier, if anybody had told us in March of 2020 the things that would happen over the next year, you mentioned your rants about masks, that our churches would be shut down, that our kids that go to Catholic school aren't allowed to sing in class, that all these things would be shut down and put off and no mass on Easter, nobody would have believed you. That would have been crazy.
Right, that there would be no mass around the world on Easter. You know what the Orthodox said about that? That it was the Orthodox are actually, I think, more in tune, honestly, than our clergy in the Roman Catholic Church is regarding the current times. But they said this is the first miracle of the Antichrist.
Mm. Wow.
Mass.
Yeah, yeah.
Around the world on Easter. You know, who else is in tune? In the foreword to the book, The Warning, is Bishop Gavin Ashenden, and he was a chaplain to the Queen of England. And it's interesting, after he wrote the foreword, he became Catholic. But this is what he wrote. Every so often a book falls into one's hands that is particularly powerful in unveiling the mystery and power of God's purpose for his church today, and this is one such. If you are wondering whether or not you should take the time to read it, let me strongly encourage you to do so. We are entering a period, and this is before COVID, he said, we are entering a period of profound change, challenge, and spiritual conflict in which those who love Jesus will need all possible help to rise to the need to firstly deepen our own repentance and then using the gifts of the Spirit and the charism of the Church to resist evil wherever we find it. We will meet it in ourselves, in the church, and in the world. We have been called into a struggle which is one of life and death, not just of the body, but more importantly, of the soul. Learning the language of the soul and the reality of the spiritual struggle is a priority for the whole church today. Not enough manage it. In reading this wonderful book, you will find your heart opened and warmed, your mind informed, and your will considerably strengthened. And I will also want to mention, I mentioned Marino Restrepo being the most incredible story, I think, in the book, the last one. But if you go to queenofpeacemedia.com, that night that Marino Restrepo was in the broken-down shack amidst bat excrement and bugs crawling on him and tortured and kidnapped in the Amazon jungle, he was given a singular gift, a singular grace, and... Did he? he didn't just see his soul as God sees it in light of his own sin throughout his whole life, but he also was given an infusion of divine knowledge, and he's backed by his bishop, and he has a church-approved apostolate in Colombia right now. And he is actually, I would call him, and most people do, a modern-day St. Paul. So one of the other books you can find on the website is called Winning the Battle for Your Soul, and it's teachings that Jesus gave him for us. And it's a short little book that also converts people to Catholicism very quickly. So if you're despairing over your child, your friend, you know, someone in your family, a loved one, who just doesn't get it and wants nothing to do with the church, OMG, get them these books, and getting them, winning the battle for your soul has converted so many as well. It's power-packed. So heaven is trying to help us, and these are just a couple ways.
Amen. Again, our guest has been Christine Watkins, and we've been talking about the warning testimonies and prophecies of the illumination of conscience. And we have just a couple minutes, Christine. And again, I really want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. I know you're busy, and I just think that this message is so important. And it was funny, about 2 weeks ago, I was with this Father Douglas McKay, who I'm good friends with, and he passed along a letter from a good friend of his, and also a good friend of this radio apostle, it's Joe Grady, asking everybody to pray for the second Pentecost. And, and it's like one of those things where I'm getting hit in different directions. And I think that as soon as I read his letter about praying for the second Pentecost, I immediately thought of you and the warning, because they're the
same
thing.
But that is another name for it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So we have just a minute left. I'll give you the final word before we let you go.
Well, I just want to thank you for having the opportunity to speak of it again. And I think it's going to be more well known. And I just want to say, could I say a prayer for the listeners?
Sure.
Lord Jesus, I ask you to come to each person listening to this show. I ask you to bless them. Bless their mind, their ears, their heart. Lift them up. Lift them up into the knowledge that you are real, and that you call all of us to yourself. And open their eyes and hearts to the possibility that this could happen to the whole world in their lifetime. And put in their heart and their mind someone they would like to give the book to. Someone like, there's also videos on it. If you can't afford the book, share a video about the illumination of conscience. Go to Queen of Peace Media's YouTube page and you can find those and share those. But share and share and share and share. Because at our death, or if the warning happens in our lifetime, we will also see and feel the pain of the repercussions of what we didn't do and were called to do. So whenever you have a moment of holy inspiration, act on it. Act on it. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of you. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of me. It only matters that we do God's will. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Christine. Happy Easter. And for all of our listeners, I wish you a happy and holy Triduum and Easter Sunday. And until we meet next Wednesday, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Till then, take care and God bless.